little scary being up here. You read these scriptures and you say, what is God going to do with this? And a couple days later, he tells you, and then he changes it a couple days after that. And then he changes it again. And then you finally write it down, maybe on Friday or Saturday, knowing that once they sing the worship songs and somebody else shares the word, it might change one more time. So that's really helpful to me, because there's a couple of places, a couple of ways this could have gone this morning. And you don't know till the end where it's going to go. But that helps me have a little bit of a direction. You will need your Bibles. So if you have a Bible, I want you to go ahead while we're preparing to go ahead and turn to Psalm 19, the one that Sam read and had so much fun with. This morning, I want to talk to us, myself included, about the call to alignment. There is so much in the four scriptures that are assigned for today. You've only heard two of them so far. There's so much in there, and we could go a lot of directions. But when I was talking to Alan Kemp on Thursday morning at the morning prayer time, he just pointed something out to me that dropped the word alignment into my spirit. And so that's what we're going to land on today. If you focus on the word alignment, you can come into alignment. You can be in alignment. You can come out of alignment. You can be brought back to a place of alignment. And if you're going to be in alignment, there's so many tools that will test whether or not you're in alignment. So I went to the garage and I pulled out our very simple, simple metal, machine? It's a tool for aligning our 1978 Triumph Spitfire little car. And it is literally a piece of metal that folds in half with other little things on it, and you kind of have a screw pin. It's the most simplest of machines, but it aligns this car, the front wheels. And if you know anything, you want your front tires aligned. If you go to a chiropractor, you know you want your back aligned. We get out of alignment all the time. Sometimes just sleeping, you can get yourself out of alignment. So ask any chiropractor, ask any mechanic, do I need something in alignment? And they're going to say, oh, yeah. But why? Why do we need to have something in alignment? Well, your car is going to run better. Your tires will last longer. Life will flow better if you're in alignment. You'll certainly be able to be less pain if your back's in alignment. So there's lots of ways and lots of benefits to being brought into alignment. Some of them are very, very simple. Some of them can be computerized. Machines they put your car on that are very complicated. You can have a simple piece of metal like we do for our car. The Word of God, a tool of alignment, an important word that brings us into alignment. So God wants us to come into alignment in so many ways, but then we also know that life and the enemy and our friends, sometimes accidentally, a lot of things can get us out of alignment. Like I said, sometimes just sleeping on a bad bed can bring you out of alignment. So we have this constant, am I in alignment? Am I out of alignment? How do I get back? And again, depending on the tool being used, I mean, you can tell if something's micro out of alignment. Or are we just talking, it's close enough, like my father used to say, good enough for government work. That was his saying. So I've got four stories of alignment for us from the Word of God. It's from the lectionary today, and we're going to go over them briefly. And my prayer is that one of them will be a testimony to you that you can take home and share with somebody else, share with yourself again. Look it up in the Word of God. Come back to a place of alignment. Because I honestly believe that through the past couple of years, this is what God is doing in the body of Christ. And I was reading a fascinating article about the Reformation being bringing everybody back to right doctrine 500 years ago. But now, if you look at today's Reformation, it's about a right heart. That, yeah, we've got the doctrine, we've got the seminaries teaching, Lord willing, the right doctrine, but the church needs also a right heart. We all got to come back somehow into an alignment. So I want to start with Psalm 19. Mine is not the message. Let me find this here. Here we go. Here we go. Psalm 19. I just want to bring out a couple of points about alignment. That when God created the heavens in Genesis 1, when he created the stars, when he created the planets, he put them all in their orbit. He put them all in the right place. And it says the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim his handiwork. I was flying to Arizona. I'm up in an airplane above the clouds, and I'm listening. What are you saying, heavens? You know, I'm trying to practically think, what does that sound like? What does that look like? Everybody's got their ear pods on, their heads down. Nobody's talking to anybody. And I'm looking out the window saying, what are the heavens declaring? It's the glory of God somehow. Night after night, they display knowledge. They pour forth speech. There's no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the end of the earth. We know from Romans 1 that everybody's accountable somehow for knowing God because the heavens declare him to be God. And these planets and these stars, when God put them in place, have stayed there. They're in relation to one another. Venus, Mercury, Earth, Mars, you know, nobody has decided to get out of place. They've stayed aligned. They've stayed aligned to where God put them. They've stayed aligned to one another. They've stayed in alignment to the sun, which is the center. They're not arguing about where they are and where they got put. They are happy to stay in alignment. And when they do, the heavens declare the glory of God, Tori. And their speech goes forth. Now, it's very interesting. In verse 4 of Psalm 19, their voice goes out into all the earth. That word for voice in Hebrew is line or measuring line. So even the heavens have a measuring line that they have to align to. In verse 4, their voice. My NIV has a little letter above that, and it says it's line, as if you might measure something. So they stay in line. And then you finish in the psalm, and it talks about the law of God, perfect, reviving the soul, making us wise. It's trustworthy. The law of God is aligned to the heart of God. The stars and planets are aligned to the word of God when he spoke it forth in Genesis 1. Then he gives forth the law, and that's aligned to God. So we have some examples in our scripture of what it looks like to be in alignment. And the good news is you and I cannot go out into outer space and mess it up. They're going to stay there. Thank God. Because when they're in alignment, they declare the glory of God somehow. Now I want you to turn to Nehemiah 8. This is what Samuel read this morning. And we have people, the people of God, being called back into alignment. So let me explain this to you a little bit. Under the kings, under the judges, Israel as a people got out of alignment. They chose not to align themselves with the Word of God, the law of God, the heart of God, with each other. There was all sorts of problems. And it got so bad, God kicks them out of the land. They're that far out of alignment. But fortunately, God doesn't leave them there. He says, I need you out of the land so I can let the land heal for 70 years. That tells you how far out of alignment they were. And then he says, I'm going to bring you back. And he brings them back little by little. And they rebuild the temple. They rebuild some houses. They start replanting the crops. They start living again in the land as God's people. And they start to rebuild the wall. And this isn't overnight. This takes years and years and years and years. God is restoring or bringing them back into alignment as his people so they can manifest God on the earth the way the heavens declare the glory of God in the heavens. And so now, Ezra 8, it starts in verse 1. When the seventh month came and the Israelites had settled in their towns, all the people assembled as one man in the square before the water gate. And they, the people, told Ezra the scribe to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded for Israel. Here's what they need to align to: the word of the Lord, the law of the Lord. And they ask to have it brought out and read to them. This is important that it tells us it's the seventh month, because that's the month where on the first day of the seventh month, they start three feasts. Three. You have the Feast of Trumpets. Then you have the Day of Atonement. Then you have the Feast of Tabernacles. All this happens in the seventh month. So they're finished their work. When they aligned with one another, they were able to build the wall in spite of opposition in a fabulous 52 days. And now they say, we're coming together as one man. They're aligning with one another. And they ask Ezra, the high priest, bring out the law of God. We want to hear it. So we can see that the Lord is calling his people back into alignment. Back into alignment with the land, back into alignment with each other, back into alignment with the law. And what happens when we come into alignment? Life. Life can flow, not death. All right? So they're also aligned to God's timing, because they gather outside as a congregation in the seventh month, which is when God said, you need to get out together. You need to have the Feast of Trumpets. You need to have the Day of Atonement. There's a process that God would take them through. And it was a process during these weeks in the seventh month where they were not to work. They were to rest and they were to refocus. They were supposed to refocus on God. Why? Come back into alignment. Life can bring us out of alignment. Work can bring us out of alignment. We get too busy. We get too tired. We get disgruntled. So they had a time at the beginning of every religious year, and they would realign as a people group. And they'd come together. And the wonderful thing about this is, life began to flow, because they're crying and they're crying and they're crying. They see how far out of alignment they've been. They haven't heard the word of God in so long. They're crying. It's being explained to them. And then they're told, don't cry. Go home and rejoice. Go home and share. Go home and be a community again. Give to those who don't have what you have. So there's several ways that we can see alignment in here: aligning with each other in the community, aligning with the feasts of the Lord or the timing of the Lord, aligning with the word of the Lord, which was the law for them, and aligning, coming back into the land. And when that happened, life started to flow again. How do we know that? Well, if you flip over to Nehemiah 9 and you just look at the headings, my NIV Bible at the beginning of chapter 9 says the Israelites confess their sins. Well, there's an alignment right there for you, or a realignment. One way to realign, once you see what the truth is, once God shows you where you're out of alignment, the next important step would be repentance. And they do that. They confess their sins. And then there's an agreement. They go back to the covenant in chapter 10. They recommit themselves to covenant with God. Again, a call to alignment. And these people listened and they came back into alignment with the word of God. Here's a great quote from one of the commentators about the people right here in this day in Ezra 8. McLaren says, "He who does not intend to obey does not wish to hear the law. Those people have already determined to follow their own will, not God's." Let me read it again. "He who does not intend to obey does not wish to hear the law. They have already determined to follow their own will, not God's." See, these people, back in Nehemiah 8, verse 1, they're the ones that told Ezra to bring out the law. It was not intentional. You know, it doesn't say that Ezra brought it out. They asked to have it brought out. They had their hearts ready to hear. And when we're ready to hear, when we come to church and we're ready to hear, and we say, "Scott, preach to us," or "Lauren, read us a story," or whatever, that's an indication I'm ready to hear. I want to have the opportunity to exchange my will for God's will, to come back into alignment with what God is saying through his word, through Jesus, through the sermon, through testimonies, all these things. So it's a great example of people coming into alignment even under the old covenant. And when that happens, God is glorified, just like the heavens declare the glory of God. When we're in our place, when we're aligned with each other, when we're aligned with the timing and the will of God, life happens. Life flows. And that's a good thing. All right, now we're going to flip over quickly to 1 Corinthians 12. This is a familiar part of scriptures. And these verses that we haven't read yet today begin in 1 Corinthians 12:12. And it's talking about the body of Christ. And it says in 1 Corinthians 12:12, "The body is a unit, though it's made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body." Remember, in Ezra, they had come together as one people. Now we have one body. "So it is with Christ," verse 13, "for we were all baptized by one spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, we're all given one spirit to drink." Then it goes on to say, okay, well, the foot's saying to the hand, "I'm not part of the body because I'm not a hand, or I'm not the eye, or I'm not the mouth, or I'm not the one with the microphone. Therefore, I must not be part of the body." Not true. Then you have other parts of the body saying, "I'm more important than you because I'm the mouth and you're the big toe. I have the microphone. All you do is stick out like a sore thumb. But you can ask Dan, having a hurt big toe really can impede your progress." And we are commanded in the body of Christ to be one, even though we're many parts, to come into alignment with each other, not just as body parts, but to come into alignment with the head. If I'm obeying the head and I'm the mouth today, okay, life can flow. If I'm obeying the head and I'm the hands for a particular day, life can flow. If I'm working with Nate and we're working on a project, we have to be aligned in order to build the wall. Whatever's going to be built up, build up the kingdom. Alignment with one another, alignment with God, and alignment with God's word, so important for life to flow. And the lovely thing that I like about this passage is down in verses 24 and 25 of 1 Corinthians 12. It says, God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If you have a broken big toe, the rest of you is going to feel it. But do we? Are we that well aligned with each other? Okay? If you don't have alignment in your marriage or your family, there's going to be some real pain going on. And life isn't going to flow as well as it could. So how much more do we need alignment in the body of Christ as the new covenant church as they needed in the old covenant law of God? We have to find a way to align, not just with everybody here in Dream House, but even with our brothers and sisters in other denominations. Scott and I were talking about this yesterday, you know? This church doesn't look like it did 5 years ago. The mural's gone. The musicians are gone, except Scott, except a few others, okay? There's new people here. But that doesn't mean that we're different. We are. We're still Dream House. And that doesn't mean that we can't worship with the church across the street or the church across the train tracks. They might have a different style. I may not appreciate it as much, but that doesn't mean they're not worshiping God. It's just like that diamond. You see a different facet. You look through a different part, a different lens. And we can learn to appreciate. I know stories that Scott and John shared about going to a conference, and I think you were with Catholics, wasn't it? And just weeping because the Spirit of God was there. It's wonderful. I went to Ecuador 20 years ago. God speaks Spanish. Oh my gosh, it was fantastic. I mean, like, I knew enough Spanish to know what the words on the thing up, that said. But, you know, having never been in another nation, God showed up in Ecuador. That was very cool. So, again, aligning ourselves here, very important. Aligning ourselves in our community, so that the body of Christ can be glorifying God here, but even aligning ourselves across the world. You never know where this is going to go. Now, it's very interesting. We bring alignment to the body of Christ when we start to honor those that aren't normally honored. I love that God's kingdom is an upside down kingdom. So alignment doesn't look like it does in the world, where the last shall be first and the least is the greatest. And it's not the people up here that are the greater ones. Okay. Just because I have the microphone doesn't mean that. Although there was a time where I thought that, you know, I wanted to be the person up here. And I stepped on a lot of people's toes, and I was not loving, and I was not kind, and I was not in alignment with the group of people I was with, because I wanted to be in a different place, in a different position within the group than I'd been given. I was out of alignment. And it didn't go well. In fact, like 8 or 10 years later, I had to go apologize, which then brought me back into alignment. I didn't rejoin the group, but I at least covered over my offenses because I wasn't in alignment with what was going on. And so when I came out of that, this was like 2006. I thought, because God was telling me, I'm moving you. You know, sometimes realignment means I'm just moving you. Doesn't mean you're doing anything wrong. Just means there's a new season. So I've got to get you out of being aligned with this group so I can align you with this group. So God was moving me, and I thought, he's going to put me on stage. He's going to give me a microphone. He's going to align me with the people up here. And in fact, and he kept saying, I'm moving you, get ready, let go of everything, get yourself ready to be moved. And I'm like, yes. And then he moved me to take care of my mother-in-law as the primary caregiver as she spent 5 years declining in her health. And I was like, God, this is not what I had in mind. And he's like, I know. But it's what I have in mind, and I need you to come into alignment with what I have in mind for you. I don't know who this is for today. So I wrestled. I threw some temper tantrums. And I remember driving down Jefferson Avenue one day to Warwick Forest to see my mother-in-law, who at the time was still in good independent living. And the Lord clearly spoke to me. You are securing your inheritance. And it's one of those where you look behind you in the car and say, who was that? You know, it was that loud and clear. So I knew that what the Lord had called me to, which was not with the microphone, but ministering to a bitter woman, was securing my inheritance somehow. And so I was also learning about Arthur Burke and the redemptive gifts in the body of Christ, and one of them was being a servant. And I'm like, no, I'm the prophet. Don't you know that, God? And then I'd go back and I'd help my mother-in-law. No, Chris, you're the servant. No, I want to be the teacher. No, honey, you saw how that worked when you tried to get out of place, right? So when I wrestled and I finally said, here's the heart of a servant, and I did some research, and I was listening to, at the time it was Arthur Burke, I was like, you know what? That really is my heart. That really is my heart, to be a servant, to help other people, to lift them up, to connect people, to do the jobs that nobody else wants to do. So serving became a joy. Because I finally came into alignment with what God had called me to do in that season. And little did I know that by serving, I was securing my inheritance. I was aligning myself with things that God wanted to give me in the future that I didn't even know about. So alignment can come in a lot of ways. And it might look different in different seasons. Dan's now retired. That's a whole different alignment, how he schedules his days, how I schedule my days, right? What he does, who he sees, all of that, he's shifting. He's coming into a new alignment with what God has for him. And God will be glorified. So I don't know where you need to come into alignment. We still haven't gotten to the gospel. So turn to Luke 4. And this is really cool. Because, again, Jesus is calling people into alignment. I don't know where you need to come into alignment or if you need to come into alignment. You might already be in alignment. Praise God. And you can tell if you're in alignment because life will flow. There will be unity. There will be the Word of God to you, the heart of God for you. So we're in Luke 4. Don't worry about it. And I'm going to start reading in verse 14. This is right after the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness. Jesus returned to Galilee out of the wilderness in the power of the Spirit. And news about him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. And he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet was handed to him. And unrolling it, he found the place where it is written. And pay attention to this. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." There's a lot of places we could go with that. But as I was looking at the context of it, how he's coming out of the wilderness, he's coming out of temptation, these were tests of his alignment. Will you align with Father and who he says you are, Jesus? You are the Son of God. I don't care what the devil says. Will you align with that? Will you align with the temptations? Will you align with God when the temptations come? Will you align with God when something that looks better, like be up here with the microphone, that looks better than being with an old bitter woman who's got dementia? Oh, this must be God's will for me. It looks so good. It's not. So he's gone through. You could consider that the temptation in the wilderness was testing his alignment with the heart of God and the will of God. And he passed. He passed the test, and now he comes out of the wilderness in the power of the Spirit, it says in verse 14. And he's going to start calling other people into alignment. Who are the other people? The Jews, God's people, who are out of alignment. Darn! Why can't we stay in alignment? So he calls them into alignment. Now, the other cool thing is, you know, he's got, it's not a Bible with pages like you and I have. It's a scroll. I don't know how big the scroll is for Isaiah. But, you know, this morning I turned to Isaiah 1 because, let me back up. What he's quoting, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," is from Isaiah 61. It's from the prophet Isaiah. It was spoken 750 years earlier. And now he's coming into alignment with it? How can you align with something that old? God can. But if the scroll starts at Isaiah 1, and you got to roll and unroll this side and roll and unroll this, he's gone through all the history of Israel, everything Isaiah spoke, all the things God said about them. He even read about the suffering servant. He's making his way through Isaiah. He gets to Isaiah 61. This is where I'm supposed to align. This is what I'm supposed to read. He could have read anything from Isaiah. Somehow, being in such a great alignment with God and what God was doing in the moment, Boy, I wish I had that alignment. He reads, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And he's calling people into alignment. Notice, back in Luke 4, verse 18, he's aligned himself with God, and he's now been anointed. He's been set apart. He's got oil on him that you can't see from the Spirit of God that he's been smeared with. And he's been called out for a special reason. And his special reason is to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, to recovery of sight for the blind, release for the oppressed. All these people listed are out of alignment somehow. They're in prison. They're blind. They can't do what they were made to do. They're out of alignment, and he's calling them back into alignment. And the cool thing is, you and I get to be part of that, calling people back into alignment. Because when you and I can come closer into alignment, we have the opportunity to partner with God and call other people into alignment, whether it's how we raise our kids, right? You're calling them into alignment with God's word, how we live amongst each other. I had a friend call me yesterday. His body's out of alignment. His soul's out of alignment. He was in a hard place. And he's like, I need somebody to call me back into alignment. Remind me what's true. Remind me what's right. Help me. Because sometimes we're so far out of alignment, we can't get back on our own. We've got to have somebody help us. That's why we have chiropractors and doctors and pastors and friends and parents. So Jesus is aligned with what God's doing in the moment. He's also aligned with something God said 750 years ago. Go figure. And he's calling people into alignment. And here's the really crazy thing. If you keep reading Luke 4, the more Jesus talks, the more offended they get, because he's showing them how far out of alignment they are. And rather than repenting like they did in Nehemiah and Ezra's time, they say, we don't want to hear this guy anymore. Let's kill him. Let's kill the alignment tool. Let's kill the word of God. Let's kill and get rid of the thing that says I'm wrong, because I don't want you to tell me I'm wrong. I want to live the way I want to live. I want to be the way I want to be. And you have no right, God, to tell me otherwise. I'm sorry. God has every right to tell us otherwise. And the scary thing is, we can bring ourselves into alignment, or we can be brought back into alignment. I would rather do the former. I don't want to have to be hit upside the head with a 2x4. Ezra called the people into alignment. They said yes. Jesus called his home people into alignment. And the scary thing is, they said no. Because we have a choice. So what does alignment look like? Letting life flow. Freedom for captives. Joy for mourning. Release for the oppressed. Justice. Comfort for those who mourn. Turn with me to where Jesus is quoting, which is Isaiah 61, because there's more there. Turn to Isaiah 61. And let me read it to you from how it was written 750 years earlier. The Spirit of the Lord, Sovereign Lord, is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from the darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God. Jesus didn't include that part because it wasn't time for that part yet. He's calling people into alignment, into the favor of God. And then keep looking in Isaiah 61, providing comfort for those who mourn, comfort for those who grieve, a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of despair. And they will be called oaks of righteousness. Imagine the prisoners, the oppressed, the mourning people, the grieving, those in darkness, the captives and the brokenhearted ones, are going to be a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. That sounds like the heavens declaring the glory of God. When you come out of that misalignment and brought into alignment, we can declare the glory of God. But here's the kicker for me, verse 4. What are they going to do? They're going to rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated, renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. These people who were nobodies and nothings and so out of alignment, when they come into alignment and life begins to flow, they bring life to other people. They can rebuild cities. I think Portland, Oregon might appreciate that right now. Or Philadelphia, or somewhere else that's been destroyed. Families long devastated can be restored and renewed. So when we come into alignment, whatever God is calling you, I'm not the tool, I'm not the measuring stick. Jesus is. What is God calling you to align to right now? In this season, with this group of people, in this day and age, yes, we align to the Word of God. Absolutely. Yes, we align to Jesus Christ. Absolutely. Yes, we align to the heart of God and the timing of God. Absolutely. Have our thoughts aligned with God, my words aligned with God. And you know, another thing I learned recently, how often I'm asking everybody else to align with me. The lady was in my way at Costco yesterday, two ladies. And I'm like, dude, get out of my way. Align with where I am and with what I have to do. You are secondary. Or your car's blocking my vision and I can't make a left turn on Jefferson Avenue. We all know this. We all do this. I need you to align with me so that my life goes better because I'm more important. I'm like, please, God, take that from me. Let me honor other people first. Let me honor the people in my family. Let me honor the strangers and the aliens and the foreigners and the people that are in my way. See, that just shows my heart's out of alignment. Thank God there's a measuring stick that can show me when I'm out of alignment and that we have the Spirit of God to bring us back into alignment. He doesn't make us do it ourselves. So there's a couple of ways I want us to end this here. I'm going to go back to Luke 4, since that's where Jesus landed. And again, he's in perfect alignment. And when he's in perfect alignment, life flows. Unfortunately, the people there didn't want it. I want it. I want to be in alignment. I know you and I have people in our families that we want brought back into alignment. So your homework is to take Luke 4, verses 18, and proclaim them to the people that you love and that you know need to be called back into alignment? Who needs to hear the good news? Who do you know that's in prison of any kind? Who do you know who's blind? Who do you know who's oppressed? We can call these people back into alignment. Because I'm in Jesus, and Jesus is aligned with the heart of the Father and the will of the Father. And the Holy Spirit is praying and bringing my prayers into alignment. So even though I'm not always perfectly aligned and sometimes never perfectly aligned, I'm in Jesus who is. And he can pray these prayers through me. He can pray the heart of God through me. We have the privilege of not only coming into alignment, but calling other people into alignment. Calling them into the kingdom of God. So that's your homework, you know. Put something in your Bible there that says, come back to this page. And in your prayer time, call people into alignment. The other thing I want to do is just to be a blessing to each other. And again, I was talking to Alan about this, and I'm like, are we going to do it? Aren't we? I don't know. But I really think maybe we could with Scott's permission. I would like us to take these verses in Luke 4. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Let me go back to it. Because he's anointed me to preach good news. Before you go calling people into alignment, I would like it if we could take 5 minutes and get with somebody else in the church and speak these words over them. The Spirit of the Lord is on you to do this. The Spirit of the Lord is on you, Andrea, and your daughters who just happened to come to call people into the kingdom. And we have anointing oil, if you would like that. We got lots of anointing oil. If you would like to smear or be smeared, okay? But I would, if we could just take a couple of minutes, get with somebody in the room, and speak this over their life and over their heart so that as we leave here, you too have been anointed and sent forth to proclaim the good news, the release of captives, the sight for the blind, bringing justice where there's injustice, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor.